Life Audio.
Welcome to Christian Natural Health with naturopathic Dr. Lauren DeVille. Christian Natural Health is the podcast on how to get and stay healthy, God's way. You'll hear topics on nutrition, exercise, sleep, avoiding toxicity, meditating on scripture, what supplements to take, stress management, defeating anxiety and worry, how to reconcile Eastern medicine approaches with Christianity, and a whole lot more. Now, here's your host, Dr. Lauren.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Welcome back to another episode of Christian Natural Health. Today, I'm thrilled to have Mark Walker with us. Mark's story is one of humble beginnings and extraordinary success. Raised in Spokane, Washington, he pursued his education at the University of Washington before embarking on a remarkable entrepreneurial journey. In 1980, Mark founded Walker's Furniture with a clear purpose: to build a successful business that could make a positive impact on society and advance the kingdom of God. What started as a modest venture has since flourished into a thriving enterprise with 13 furniture stores and over 200 employees. With annual retail sales exceeding $70 million, Mark's business acumen and dedication to his vision have made Walker's Furniture a pillar of the community. Beyond his professional endeavors, Mark finds fulfillment in his role as a devoted husband to Pam, a loving father to two daughters, a proud grandfather to seven grandchildren. Together, Mark and Pam are passionate about supporting ministries that are making a difference, both locally and globally. As a sought-after speaker, Mark shares his insights on partnering with God in life and business at conferences across the nation and around the world. Welcome, Mark. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you for having me. It's a real honor.
Oh, great. So please give us the elevator pitch for your most recent book, The Multiplication Factor. Tell us about why you wrote it. What's it about?
Well, great. Well, the multiplication factor is really partnering with God and his promises to fulfill your purpose. Mm-hmm. You know, and I was in college and I was trying to figure out what I could do with my life. And I heard a pastor say that you know, what was holding back the gospel was finances. Mm-hmm. And then he was saying God was going to anoint people in business and you know, like give them new strategies, new inventions, new ideas, and give them great jobs in big corporations. And he was saying all this stuff that God wanted to, you know, anoint them in business so they could then finance the gospel. Then the scripture he was using was Deuteronomy 8:18, that mm-hmm. it is God who has the power to get wealth mm-hmm. to establish his covenant. Yeah. So now I grew up Catholic. I had never heard that. So it was kind of
yeah, it's different.
A new thought for me, you know, sure. But I was saying God wanted to partner with me in business so I could, you know, finance the gospel. I was all in. I was excited at the time. I'm in college. I had no money and I had no idea what, you know, what I could do, or, you know, I didn't have a business, you know. So anyway, but then, you know, it started to happen in the next year. God started bringing finances my way. Actually, two large checks came in the mail. Mm-hmm. And then after college, I was married to my beautiful wife. That was a real blessing. And then, you know, we started to buy God. Even though we didn't have the money for a down payment, we bought one house and then a second house. And it was just, you know, God was starting to bring finances my way so we could support the gospel. And the first house, we were able to give most of that money to the, you know, to the church and to ministries. And then the second house, when we sold that, we turned, we took that money and opened a very small 2,000 square foot furniture store. And it was, we were so small. There were large stores all around us, 30, 60, 1,000 square feet. They were, but God loves to take the weak and make them strong. That's his heart. So, forty years later now, it's just we have, like you said in the intro, we have a chain of furniture stores that are, doing so. They're very successful, and now we worked hard and we made a lot of financial sacrifices to grow our business. But most importantly, what we did is we grabbed a hold of God's promises and believed them to build our business. Like one of them. Proverbs 3:5, trust the Lord with all your heart, lean not on all your understanding, and he will direct your paths. That scripture was, I kept leaning on that, and like actually a good example is the very first employee I hired, how God helped us. I mean, he became my general manager, and then he became my co-owner, and he actually a year, 8 months after we opened our first store, he helped open our second store. So
That's
he
amazing.
actually, I didn't even hardly know him, but here God led me to hire him, and he helped open all the rest of our stores. He was so critical. So, God gave us great employees, and he gave us great locations, and then when problems came up, another promise I would really stand on is that we're in this together. God, we are in this together. Like one at 20 years in business, there's a huge store came into our main market, and they were 10 times bigger than my main store in Spokane, and they were doing 10 times more advertising. And all of a sudden, the one thing all you can do is you start looking at, God, we're in this together. We're yoked together. The Matthew 11, the amazing promise, if you're all stressed out, you can picture, you're yoked together. I would picture that we were in this together, and God was so faithful getting us through different problems, different circumstances. I just, God is faithful to fulfill his promises. I guess that's every chapter in my book. That's what I started most of them with, a promise that really transformed my life and then li really, helped me build our business. So I guess if I were to say anything, that's what I why I wrote the book. I'm hoping it will encourage people that if you partner with God and his promises, that re really anything's possible. All things are possible when you walk with God and partner with him. So that's why I wrote the book. There's a lot of testimonies in the book, encouraging testimonies where other people partnered with God, and we have a lot of quotes, and I just hope the whole goal is to encourage people that with God, a
Do all
lot of things it's
things.
possible to,
Yeah,
so all
absolutely.
things are possible.
Right. So coming from your background, you said Catholic originally. So
Right.
from that background into this idea of you can see promises in scripture in black and white that are for the here and now, and you can believe
Right.
that. What was that transition like for you?
Well, it was pretty exciting. I actually, Catholic, you didn't read the Bible. I mean, it was really something. And so actually, when I was 18, I got radically converted, and I actually then I started reading the Bible nonstop. So yeah, it was very exciting to, get those promises, and how my life changed. But that what that in college when I heard that was kind of life changing. I mean, what God? Because actually my father and my grandfather were successful business people, and I was actually trying to be, I was going to become an occupational therapist. I was in college the junior year, but your freshman sophomore you have to pick a major, and I thought, well, now I want to help people. I wasn't that concerned about making money, because so I wanted to be a physical therapist, and that wasn't available, so I signed up, but I was questioning that major. So then it was interesting, but then when I heard this, I was okay, God, that's I knew that was what I was supposed to do.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, I remember when for me when I because I grew up denominational, and there were so many promises in scripture that I just skip over. Like I'd read them, but they went in one ear and out the other because I thought it can't possibly, like, I don't think I ever even thought about it in so many words, but there was so much of in my mind. I thought that can't possibly mean what I think it means. It must mean something super spiritual. And then I just move
Yeah.
on. But to
Right.
recognize that
It's
you
so
can,
far out there.
right, it was so
Yeah.
far out there. And to actually say, no, it means what it says. That is a complete transformation. Absolutely. So
Right.
back to the title of your book, The Multiplication Factor. Can you nail that down for us? What does that mean? What is the multiplication factor?
Well, really, I said it real quickly, but it is really partnering with God that you're in this together. God wants to, help you in all the situations. Actually, Isaiah 26:3, it says, if you see that, you're with God, then you have the peace that you can actually go forward and you'll step into it, his promises, like you were talking about. So I actually just believed that promise that God's going to bring finances my way. And I wasn't in a hurry. I didn't know what it would look like. I just kept believing that promise. So the multiplication factor is knowing that God's with you. And he's going to partner with you, and whatever's happening in your life, that he wants you to keep moving forward with him, and to fulfill basically your purpose. I really believe we all have a purpose, and and a destiny, and God wants to help us fulfill that. So that's what it's all about. So.
Absolutely. And so, with this concept of you're partnering with God for multiplication, he brings finances to you so that you can do the work of the kingdom.
It's
How
all
do
about letting God's finances flow through your life. Yes.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. What I imagine you get the protest often that this sounds like the prosperity gospel. What would you say to people who make that argument?
it isn't. There's warnings all through the Bible about storing up wealth and about laying up treasures, and there's all these warnings, and rightfully so. You want to be, the concern is that you don't start trusting in your riches.
Yes.
So really, what God is, God wants us to prosper, but so it is, so you can be a blessing, though. God wants to bless you so you can be a blessing. That actually, that's been his plan right from the beginning. Abraham, he came to Abraham, he said, if you follow me, if you kind of like, if you partner with, you follow what I say, and if you leave, go to a different country, then I'll bless you and bless your descendants, and you will be a blessing to nations. So that's really been God's plan all along, is he wants people to have an abundant life, to have abundance, but so that it then can flow through your life. And that's, unfortunately, a prosperity gospel kind of didn't really, just talk, it kind of gave you an idea you could have, this and that, and all, that's, you really, the key is that God wants his love, his wisdom, his goodness to flow through people's life, and however, he blesses you. So.
Yeah. So there's two pieces potentially that I see that could be pitfalls, I guess, here. So one of them is the idea of the money, like that money can be a trap of trying to gain it for yourself. The other might
Right.
be just the ambition. So if somebody has their own ideas of glory and grandeur, how do you mix that with the idea of partnering with God for him to multiply you?
Well, the best thing I can say is, Jesus came to serve, not to be served. He didn't come to build his own kingdom. So, the best thing you can do is surrender and say, God, I want your will. I want, when you're off on your own ambition, it's so easy. There is a trap there. You can get caught up, going too far, and then making the wrong, going too far. Making the mistake of building your own kingdom, and then you make some mistakes. And so that is the key, is really just surrendering and saying, God, I want your will. I want, and so I never really did try to decide how many stores, I never even started about that whole thing. I just kept, actually, opportunities would come our way, and I'd really pray about it, and I would turned down a lot of opportunities to have more stores, because I didn't, I really wanted to make sure that it was God's plan, and that they benefit me. I just didn't want to build an empire
Right, for the
that
sake
would
of
have been
doing
a
it. Yeah.
Yeah, Purdue, right. It
Right.
would have
Absolutely.
been that.
Right. Yeah. So, and it sounds like as far as the nitty-gritty of what this looks like from day to day, you would have, a business opportunity and you would just sit down and pray about it and then, use your mind and ask for advice and feel peace.
Sure.
And was that about right, or?
Well, sure. I mean, a lot of times an opportunity, you'd look at the pros and cons, and but then I would actually, I'd spend a lot of time with the Lord at home when I'd wake up. An hour or two, I would spend time reading and praying. And when I had a big decision like that, I'd at home, you'd just present and ask God for his direction. A lot of times I would get directed by his peace. Until I had a real peace, I wouldn't do it. Well, of course, I talked to my wife a lot too. She, you know, your wife is, helps a lot, making big decisions, but yeah, you wanted both of it as to kind of have a peace about it, and just, and so spending time with God and just getting his direction was really a key. So yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And so when God began to multiply you and bring the finances to you, how do you build in the idea of generosity into like your budget? How did that, what did that look like?
Well, and I don't think there's any formula, and the key is I just wanted to always be able to give cheerfully and willingly. But actually, from the beginning, it just was put in my heart to personally try to give 30%, 20 to 30%. So I just, and I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying there's no formula, but that's what we did. And we right away when we started, I started giving 20 in up to 30%. And I never even kept track of it, but I was always looking for how God would prompt me for different things, where to give or if there's a need here. There's a scripture in Second Corinthians 9 that really, I think that's a whole chapter, but it's that God loves a cheerful giver. My goal was just really to give cheerfully and willingly, and not out of necessity or obligation, and then because it's God who gives you the seed to sow, and then it says he in verse 10 it says he multiplies the seed that you sow. So that's really even, it just goes along with our title. God gives you the sow, and then he this sow the seed to sow, and then he multiplies the seed that you do. So and that's even in that scripture, it talks about when you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. So God just loves a cheerful giver, and that's really the key to me, I think, is it really it's not so much the amount. I mean, I don't know if you remember the story in the Old Testament where Elijah is sent to a widow who has a son, and they're in a famine and a drought, and God sends Elijah, and he goes and he asks her. He says, "Will you make a cake for me?" And she says, "Well, I'm about ready to die. Was going to make my last meal, and then my son and I were just going to die." And Elijah turns to her and he says, "Well, just go make the cake." And then he promises, he says, or he asks her for a cup of water, and then you go make a cake, and then your food will not run out. So he makes a promise. But she willingly went and did it. She served Elijah, and then God's promise came true. So it's, you see, she just had a heart. She didn't, she had a good heart. She did it, and then God multiplied her food didn't run out until it rained. So that's actually, God's heart all through is to multiply what you distribute. But think about how the disciples felt when Jesus told them, "Hey, there's 5,000 people. Go feed those people." And he says, "What?" But he says, "Well, what do you have?" And they had just a little bit. He blessed them. As they started to distribute it, what happened? It multiplied. Think about it. And they had 12 baskets left over. So God's heart is to multiply what you distribute. So, that really is to me a key right there.
Yeah,
So.
for sure. So when somebody is just getting started with giving, like they haven't really tried it before and they're battling the fear that's associated with it, what would you say to them?
Well, that's what I say. I say, just, God will prompt you. If you see a need, just go with it and step out in faith and meet that need and whatever it is and giving to a church or ministry or just to someone, God loves that when you just give out of your heart, and then He wants to bless people that have that heart. So.
Yeah. So, can you tell us a couple of stories of maybe when you trusted God, you had a need, and God multiplied things back to you, something from your business experience?
Well, that's happened over and over, that just right even at the very beginning when we got those checks, those first checks when I was in college, I just was so excited. God was partnering with me. I gave them away. But I guess there's another story that I was after we were in business for 20 years, that we I'm in a meeting, and there's a the minister was he was always ministering on the Jewish calendar year, and he said this year is 5765, and so he was saying this is there's two fives in this Jewish calendar year, so this is a year of double grace. And I'm sitting there, and I've been in 2 Corinthians 9, it talks about God's grace and how God is able to make all grace abound towards you. And I was studying, and I think, God, so this is a year of double grace. I said, I would like to double my giving. I would say, God, I want to double, and we were giving pretty substantially back then, but I want to double, I want to double it. And so, it was just, it was a big step for me, and I'm thinking, but I want to do it. So I said, well, this time I better talk to my wife again before, so I went to Pam. And it's just, it was so exciting to me that I said, I want to give this much this year, double my giving. And she looked at me and said, I just was praying about it a couple of weeks ago that I told the Lord that I would like to give this much money sometime, and so we were both thinking along the same lines. So there's another example. I just kind of God kind of had put it on both of our hearts. It was something there was no special need. I didn't do it out of obligation, and just we wanted to increase our giving in cheerfully, we just started doing it, and as we did it, then actually our business increased. We had some breakthrough in different areas, and we were able to do it. And actually, in looking back at the history, that set our company on a whole new plateau. And for years to come, we kept growing. And it was, I didn't. You never do it to see get at see what the results are, but you just, we were just excited to give, and God was always faithful. So,
Right,
what,
absolutely. So
yeah.
I might be hitting you slightly out of left field with this one, but can you think of a time in your business when there was a crisis of some kind and it looked scary and you trusted God because it was his business and you were partnering with him and then something awesome came out of it and it all worked out?
Well, that happened a lot, there was a time when all of a sudden we had expanded quite a bit, and all of a sudden we had to move into a bigger warehouse. So we had moved warehouses before, so we're moving into a bigger warehouse. All of a sudden, the critical. All of a sudden, and we're talking about the move. And at first, I thought it would be fairly, we could just do it, but everything started to be more critical than at all. We had to move everything in a week because you're stopping. We've gotten so big. We got, 3 to 4 to 5 containers coming all the time. We have all these things. We had to coordinate it just right to stop our business, and so we could move from one location to another. And all of a sudden, all these things are coming up. My one warehouse manager said we have to get racks and all these things. And then the other big thing, we were going to do a new computer system, and we were going to do barcoding. And so all of a sudden, but all of a sudden, my controller comes to me and says, well, we don't know that we're going to have the one. We planned it all to happen on a certain date in this one week that all these shipments wouldn't come. All of a sudden, we won't know if our computer wiring will be there to run, to do all the what we need to do. And since I'm calling them, they won't guarantee that it will be there on that time, you know, and they won't, you know, there's no guarantee. So we'll just have to see. And then about a week after that, she comes to me and she says, well, I'm going to give you my notice. My controller that was supposed to be doing all our in charge of everything, all of a sudden she got a job and not only she wouldn't, you know, she had to leave to take this job, but she was the one I was depending on to do all this computer stuff and to make this transfer works go. So here we're not sure if we're going to have the ability to do it. And then she was the one, and actually she was only 40 years old. I was actually part of my reason I was growing our business, because I thought she would be part of the team with my son-in-law that right. when I retired. So I all of a sudden she's leaving. I'm thinking, it was a tough time for me, because I thought I had missed it with God. I thought I, you know, God, did I expand too fast? Am I thinking, you know, did I really mess up? And I was wondering, are you still, you know, did pride enter in, you know? And so I had a hard time sleeping. I had a hard time, you know, it was a rough time in my life, you know, for about, but actually, fortunately, you know, I, at the same time, you know, God came through and you know, our business survived that, and things worked out. And actually, the lady that was our assistant manager of our office, she came in and she ended up doing better than the other controller that left. You know, I never would have thought that, but you know, it worked. God just was there, and in the right, you know, she was actually everything worked out great. You know, and I, but you know, you. I was looking at the circumstances. That's the problem when there's certain times you're looking at all these circumstances, and I couldn't control any of it.
Exactly.
Leaving,
yeah.
You know, I had no control.
Right.
And so, you know, yeah, that was a pretty interesting time for me.
Oh, my goodness. And the computers all worked. We moved to the new
place.
Oh,
yes. The wire came in and the computers worked. And actually, they got most of almost the whole thing going, because you know, back going to transferred in a week. We had to hire a lot of trucks and do a lot of stuff, but yeah, it worked out.
Yeah. So, would you agree with the idea that in the faith walk, you kind of grow in what you can handle? Like when you're small, you can you can handle this much faith, and then as you get bigger, you can grow more.
Well, yes, it definitely. You know, then it's a process. You keep. Well, what helps is you look back and you remember what God did.
Amen.
You got to keep remembering. Actually, in Deuteronomy, where, you know, 8:18, where God says, I'll give you the right before that, but he says, remember, I want you to remember what I've done, that I've given you these cities. You got so it's these cities. So God wants you to remember what, you know, how he's taken you from really we were nothing, and then the different process, and that always helps that you remember that all the wonderful things that God's done in your walk, and you know, not look at the circumstances
exactly.
currently that you're in, and you have to see that God's with you still, and mm-hmm. and that was really the lie. You don't want to believe the lie that he's not with you, and I kind of fell into that trap to kind of think, did I blow it? God's not in this move, and you know, so you know, you really
right.
have to remember how much God is for you, and even if I had made a mistake, God's still.
Still going to get you out of it.
All things work to the good to those who are called according to his purposes. So, you know, you just had to, I should have, you know, that's when you want to go back to his promises and just, you mm-hmm. know, just remind yourself of how faithful God is and that he'll, you know, a lot of times it doesn't always work out the way you want or mm-hmm. The way you pictured it, but it always works out, or it doesn't work out always in the timing you want.
But
we always kind of you start praying for things, but you know, God is faithful.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. And as you were talking, so I was thinking of the story of God delivering the Israelites out of Egypt. And initially, he says he didn't take them directly there because they would have faced war and they would have wanted to turn back because they weren't there yet. They didn't have that mentality. But eventually, when he brought them into the promised land, they had to disinherit the people little by little, because if he gave it to them all at once, they wouldn't have been able to occupy. So it sounds kind of similar, the idea of you grow according to what God knows you can handle at the time. Yeah. So what? Yeah, go ahead.
No, that's right. Yeah.
Okay. What advice would you have for somebody who is interested in starting a business today?
Well, you know, I would really say, you know, the first thing is, you know, you're partnering with God, but then to ask God to be your CEO, you actually, you know, you think, God, we're in this together, but I didn't want to do things my way, my ideas, my plans, you know, because I said, God, if this is going to work, you know, I want your idea. I really waited. It took 3 or 4 years until I didn't know, you know, I was working other jobs, and all of a sudden, you know, I actually started one of the jobs I was working was for an unfinished furniture store. And I was in Seattle. And so at some point, all of a sudden, you know, we moved to I was visiting Spokane, where I lived, I grew up, and all of a sudden I visited their store there, and God said, hey, this is what I want you to do. So, you know, it's all starts with that. I was waiting for God to tell me what kind of business to open, and then how, and, you know, his timing was, you know, amazing for when we opened, you know, and how we opened to open that small. Actually, opening that small was a godsend, because, you know, if I had borrowed a lot of money and tried to open the bigger, like most stores, a year in 81 and 82, I don't remember, that's when interest rates went up to 12 to 13%. So had I had a loan, it could have been, you know, so God's timing was worked out. You know, you just want, that's what I would say, the best decision I made, if you're to ask God to be your CEO, and then to take time with him. Like, and for me, that time was in the morning before I went to work. I would take time praying and reading and journaling and trying to, you know, get his mind. You know, a lot of times, you know, then even at work, all of a sudden, you know, things I had prayed about at home, all of a sudden ideas would come to me, or strategies, and, just to be expectant to that God would, I guess, when I made him my CEO, I was always expectant that some way he would prompt me or put ideas or thoughts in my mind that would tell me what to do, or give me a piece, you know, so I know what to do.
Absolutely. So, yeah. So many people say that they can't hear God, but what you're describing is absolutely dependent upon that. And I love the journaling concept. Can you tell us what that actually looks like? Like, what is prayer journaling for you?
Well, I wish it was more precise, but basically I just had a notebook, and I would, you know, sometimes I'd wake up and a scripture would be on my mind, and I'd go read it, and then I go to other scriptures, I follow it, or sometimes I, you know, just a thought would come to my mind, and I'd start going, and I'd look up scriptures for that, or, you know, I just would try to get direction, and so then I'd be journaling what God showed me, and it was just a way to kind of help me picture and see what was happening, and you know, it was, as you're opening yourself up to that, it was great. I actually have probably 20 to 30 old journals of these different times, although I don't go back to them that much, but it does, it puts them in your heart. You know, that was really the idea, is you're journaling, and as you write it, you're writing it, and you're putting it, establishing it more in your heart than just thinking that, you know, a lot of times you read a bunch of scriptures.
Exactly.
You know, it's taking the time to kind of more meditate on it and trying to establish it in your heart to get it to be more, you know, okay, how do you walk in it? What's this mean? How am I going to change my life? Or how am I, you know, what's this going to do? So.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also find, at least for me personally, that when I write stuff down, it focuses my thoughts. If I'm just thinking and there's there's not something that's forcing me to pay attention to one stream of thought, then I'll just be all over the place. But there's something about that tends to help to win on an issue. Yeah. So, and sort of similar to this, but when you're deciding where you're going to give the money, like if you've already settled in your heart, you're going to give money, but you're going to give it to some ministry or some cause or some person, is it the same process? You just go to God and say, where do I give this?
Well, that is when year in when we get, bigger distribution, I'm always praying, the exciting time for me to pray about. We have ministries we're involved in, but I'm always asking which ones, or is there a new one? And I'm asking God to prompt me to kind of to tell me which ones are this year. Or, one of the key things I'm always looking for is how they're, who's having an impact, or who might, if I give to them, might be able to go to the next level of impact.
Right. Absolutely.
There's so many, there are a lot of amazing ministries, a lot of amazing churches that are having a lot of impact. And, unfortunately, I go to a church that's very, that has a lot of impact, so it's just a looking for that, listening, asking, but all through the year, I'm always also at the same time, a lot of times God would prompt me. You hear of a need, and then, or you see something, and you say, oh, there's something. I'm always kind of looking for that, a connection from God to say, okay, this would be a great ministry. So,
Okay. Awesome. Very
yeah.
cool. What have I not asked you that you want to make sure you leave with our audience?
You're asking a lot of great questions. Yeah, no, it just, I guess one of the key things is to stay focused on God and looking. I wrote this in the book, but car drivers, how they racing cars, and how they go through those small openings. They're going 100 miles an hour, and they're going through as they focus on where they're going. They don't look at the walls. They don't look at the cars. They train themselves specifically to focus on where they're going. And so that's one of the things that I really want to encourage people is don't, there's so much news, there's so much in business, bad economy,
Right.
different things that can happen, this and that. And I guess that's a can be a real distraction and can hold you back. And really the key is, train yourself to just look at that. I'm partnering with God. We're look where you're going, stay focused on where you're going, and just really makes a big difference, to keep your eyes on God and where you're going, that we're in this together. And so,
Amen. Absolutely. Where can people go to learn more about you and to pick up your book?
well, the book is on Amazon, and so, and then also sometimes if they say they're out, but they'll put it on order. But also it's available on restore7.org, which is a ministry that helped us publish a book, and so encourage me along the whole process. So there's two places they can go, and so
That I
that's
will
great.
link to that in the show notes. Awesome. And thank you, Mark. This has been very inspiring. Appreciate your time.
Well, I appreciate it. It was great. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
It was a real honor.
Are you looking for a holistically minded healthcare practitioner who truly treats root cause rather than symptom suppression? Unfortunately, even in the alternative healing professions, this isn't a given. That's why I've created wholehealthdoctor.com, a resource to help connect patients to healthcare practitioners in their area who share a root cause philosophy. Alternatively, most of the practitioners listed also practice telehealth. So if there isn't anyone local to you, you can still find a great practitioner to help you regain optimal health. Go to wholehealthdoctor.com. That's whole. HealthDR.com. Type in your location or adjust the specialty that you're looking for and find the practitioner who's right for you.
Thanks for listening to Christian Natural Health. This show is run by you, so please write in with topic and guest suggestions for future shows. For more great content, subscribe to Dr. Lauren's blog at www.drlaurendeville.com or follow her on Facebook or Twitter at Dr. Lauren Deville. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to share it with your friends and give us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It really helps us to stand out so other people can discover great content as well. Have a great week and God bless you.
I'm Don Hawkins, inviting you to be encouraged with my weekly podcast, Encouragement for You. To subscribe, go to lifeaudio.com.